How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. List goes on and on. This is the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. This is going to be a very, very busy day, and we only got an hour, so let's not waste any time. First off, we just received word Dave Meltzer is going to be on CNN today, apparently at 12:30, which I believe is 12:30 Pacific, 3:30 Eastern. Pretty sure that's the time. It's either coming up in about 20 minutes or it's coming up in about 3 hours and 20 minutes. It'll be on the Brooke Baldwin show. I just got word before we went on the air, so I don't have the exact time, but I'll get that during the break. He'll be there talking the Hulk Hogan situation. That's Dave Meltzer on CNN between 3:30 and 4, I believe, Eastern. But I will double-check on that during the commercial break. We got a lot of news about Hulk Hogan to talk about today, and we've got to get right into it after the break because we have two special guests planned for the show today. In fact, we've got guests every single day this week, and I'm talking some big-name guests going to be here on the program. This is going to be the biggest week of Wrestling Observer Live in a long, long time. So buckle up for that. I've already got guests scheduled for today, Thursday, Friday, I believe Wednesday, and I'm pretty sure tomorrow as well. We're going to be talking all sorts of things. Hulk Hogan, the Triple Mania pay-per-view, which is coming up, and a lot more, which should give you a couple of hints about what kind of guests we're going to have on. Today, a lot of news. Hulk Hogan, on Friday's show, I predicted that more Hulk Hogan news was going to break likely by the end of Friday. That didn't happen. It actually broke today, I guess, since Friday. Friday's a day that the news is usually buried because, of course, the weekend is coming. Everybody's leaving. News of this nature usually doesn't break on the weekends. So they saved it for Monday, and we've got more from Radar Online. More Hulk Hogan derogatory commentary. We'll start with that after the break with Mike Sempervivi. Back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. I believe Dave is going to be on CNN in 20 minutes. So I guess we'll find out. I actually could fire it up here in this office. Maybe I'll do that during the next break. We have two guests on today, everybody. Two very special guests covering two completely, completely different topics. So that should be very exciting. The latest news on Hulk Hogan, this from Radar Online, broke today. Hulk Hogan slammed Hollywood megastar Jamie Foxx in his foul-mouthed and bigoted N-word tirade that led to his sensational firing. I don't know if I'd call his firing sensational. And yet another bombshell to rock the shame wrestling legend, RadarOnline.com, and the Inquirer, as part of our joint investigation, can reveal actor-singer Foxx, 47, was also the subject of Hulk's vulgar and prejudiced hatred. In the audio captured on a XXX tape, Hogan bemoaned to a sex partner. I just love how this thing is written, by the way. It's impossible to take seriously the way they write it. Hogan bemoaned to a sex partner how a billionaire black guy who had funded his daughter Brooke's fledgling music career secretly recruited Foxx to appear on one of her tracks. He talks about the N-word here. He had Jamie Foxx coming in on the 22nd track. Should add, by the way, that Radar Online here did not edit out that first F-word there. How about that? That doesn't seem right. He's upset that he didn't tell Brooke. He's mad that she screwed up a $10 million deal he had with the Saudis. He said that Brooke told him, F you, Dad. Although he said she's never said that. She flipped a bird at me. He referred to Foxx as the N-word, and then he went on to lament that he had this huge house in Miami. My family never comes home. They went to L.A., and then he says something very... Anyway, that's the latest. More from Hulk Hogan, more from the tape. I think from reading this, it appears that they broke the story last week with the worst stuff, and from here on out, it's going to be, I don't want to call it tame, but it's going to be, I don't think there's worse stuff out there. I think the worst stuff was the stuff that they released on day one, and they'll just be doing one comment or another from this point forward. The other big story is that Hulk Hogan did this tweet. Somebody needs to get the Hulkster off Twitter, like, immediately. First, he tweeted out, biracial President Obama uses the N-word is applauded and keeps his job. Hulk Hogan uses N-word, is vilified, and loses his job. I don't know if people have seen the comments that he's referring to in terms of Obama, but Obama is literally talking about how that is a word that should never be said, which is not the context in which Hulk Hogan used it. So I'm not sure if that is the greatest argument that Hogan is making right there. And the other fun one from today from ITV, Hulk Hogan has been duped by pranksters on Twitter, posting messages of support attached to images of professional footballers. The wrestler and TV personality was sacked by WWE on Friday. The 61-year-old retweeted several posts from pranksters today who sent in messages of support attached with photos that Hogan clearly believed to be genuine. In reality, many of the people pictured were Premier League stars past and present, including Rio Ferdinand, Martin Keown, Romelu Lukaku, and Danny Welbeck, names of which I surely butchered. And so Hogan now tweeting out imaginary, he's retweeting imaginary tweets of support. Can someone please get this man off Twitter?
I just hope when all this shakes out, we find out whose choice it was to put Paul Wall on the Brooke Hogan song About Us, or her big song that ended up coming out of all of this stuff, I guess, right?
I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on.
I know what's going on. A lot of stupidity is going on, and a lot of stupidity coming from Hulk Hogan. You should have just, you know, I can fine if you want to retweet from people that you actually know, but just retweeting the average person that's, you know, I'm here behind you, Hulk. How about just the apology and then go away for a while? Because people tend to bury themselves worse as they go along. And it's amazing. Hulk Hogan for years was written about as being this Teflon guy for years and years and years. And then the bottom kind of fell out with the car accident and Hogan Knows Best and the sex tape. And now this new fall from grace, it's just been one misstep after another. And just Hulk, shut up, go into the hole for a while and then see what shakes out of all this. Because the more you do this, the more you're just continuing to bury yourself.
Got a funny tweet right here. Kyle says, the writing in that Hogan article somehow seems even worse when read out loud. Adjectives everywhere. I don't know if people are aware of this or not. Many of you probably are not. But about 15 years ago, I was a staff writer for Penthouse Magazine. Seriously. I had a wrestling column in there. I did not write for them, for example. But I had a wrestling column. And they wanted 1,000 words a month. And they were going to pay me $1 a word. And at that point in my life, I thought, oh my God, I've hit the jackpot. I'm gonna be living in Hulk Hogan's mansion here pretty soon with this kind of money. So I would write these articles and they would bring the editor in and he didn't like the way that I wrote the articles. He wanted it written like what I just read there in Radar Online, adjectives everywhere. And he would go in and he would completely rewrite the article. And every time I would write one, it would just be completely rewritten. And so it, after a while, it was just kind of like, why am I even writing this article? Why don't you just write the article? Because everything I write just gets completely obliterated into this preposterous hodgepodge of adjectives and flowery language. It was not the best job in the world, as fun as it might sound. But
can you imagine if you worked for Hustler, what Larry Flint would have you write?
I imagine Larry Flint caring a lot less.
That would actually probably
just
be
write something. Kid.
Pretty sure about that.
Just write something. We'll put some pictures in there. Right? So that's the Hogan story. That's the latest on the Hulkster, and yeah, he's been eliminated. By the way, from WWE 2K16, I think everybody's well aware Hulk Hogan has been pulled from the upcoming video game. But they did announce today that Arnold Schwarzenegger as the Terminator is going to be a pre-order exclusive.
Did you see the commercial?
I have not seen the commercial yet. Is it good?
Well, yes. Watch the commercial during break. I will retweet it out again. But a good one. You get Finn Balor making an appearance in there. But it centers around Dean Ambrose and Arnold. And it's very short, but very good.
It says here, 2K today announced the debut of 2015 Hall of Fame inductee and global action film icon Arnold Schwarzenegger in WWE 2K16, He will be playing two playable characters, T-800 from the Terminator and Terminator 2 Judgment Day films. So I don't know what that means. I guess he's playing himself and T-800. It'll be available for those who pre-order the game at participating retailers.
Man, imagine if you had, like, that maybe you can beat somebody, like, that you can have a character from the past, or you pin Hornswoggle or something like that, and then it opens up where it's like you get Kindergarten Cop Arnold.
No. What it should be is if you lose enough times, they allow you to become the Terminator to try to help you along.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. You could do Kindergarten Cop.
Let me have that one, you know, just there's an unlockable one. You beat Triple H, the King of Kings at WrestleMania, and that unlocks like Conan the Barbarian Arnold.
Sure. There's a lot of ways you'd go with the game like that.
Beat Bruno, you get the name of his movie, the weightlifting movie from back in the day that was supposed to be Pumping Iron, yep. Yes.
Tottenham here is, I would say, befuddled maybe, that I got every one of those footballers' names 100% correct. That is actually
it's amazing.
Baffling. Yeah. By the way, I still don't have an update on Dave, but I'm going to fire up CNN here. So if he ends up being on the air during the show, we can tell you all about it. I would just be safe and set your DVR for 10 minutes from now. And if he's not on, you'll know to set it for 3 hours from now. So Dave Meltzer coming up on CNN to talk the Hulk Hogan situation.
You ought to regale everyone with the last time that you were on a CNN property after the break.
Oh, Nancy Grace?
Yes.
Yeah. I hope Dave has a better time than I did. Well, let's head to a break, everybody. Back in a moment with our first special guest, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Man, literally 5 seconds before we went on the air, I figured out how to activate this CNN on Apple TV. So we are currently watching CNN. Here during the show, we're joined by Mike Sempervivi here on Wrestling Observer Live and a very special guest who you will be hearing much, much more of today. Filthy Tom Lawler is here on the show for his victory celebration, the first of many today. If you only knew what I'd planned for you today, Mike, or Tom, whoever I'm talking to right now. Tom, congratulations on your win over Jean Valente on Saturday.
Thank you very much. And I'd like to publicly thank Mike Sempervivi for always believing in me.
He did. I was stunned when I heard this weekend how many people had picked against you in the betting game. But Tom, you can feel better because all of them looked like fools afterwards.
Yes. Nason, Bix, Sawyer, Juan, and Encarnacio are idiots. Pollock, Sempervivi, Meltzer, and Front Row Brian are geniuses.
Now, Tom, it is true that you had a rough go of that first round. I believe on the scorecards you may have lost that round, but you never gave up, Tom, because you're such a huge fan of John Cena and Kane, and you came back there in that second round and got the knockout. Take us through, I guess, that first round. What was going through your head? And don't say his fist.
Well, his fist. His fist did go through my head. Actually, it played out pretty close to how I expected towards the end of the round. Valente came out and took the center, which is kind of uncharacteristic in a lot of his fights. He's usually content to kind of walk around the cage and throw punches and let the other person dictate a little bit more. But we both went out there, and I mean, we were throwing pretty hard. We were cracking each other with tough shots, and even when we didn't, the ones that missed had some bad intentions on them. But I would say about maybe a minute left in that first round, I could see him starting to breathe a little bit heavier. I could see him getting a little bit slower. I could see things coming a little bit easier, and. In that last minute, after there was a moment where I threw a kick and he kind of caught it and tripped me down, and I was able to get right back up to my feet. But as soon as that happened, when we came back to the center of the cage, I could see him breathing a little bit heavier. So I danced around for the last 30, 40 seconds, and he missed a few more shots, and he was putting a lot of energy into everything he did. And I think that was the first thing I said when we went back to the corner. I said, he's tired already, and that was basically it.
So you had been on the show many times prior to the fight with Jean Valente, and one of the things that you had said was, you were coming off 2 years, a 2-year hiatus. You'd had a knee injury and knee surgery, and you said to us that I feel better than I've ever felt. Yep. And after the fight, when you were doing the promo, you mentioned you were getting too old for this. Many fighters, when the fight's over, they go, yeah, you know, I said I was in the best shape ever, but man, I had this and I had this and I had this and I had this. Take us through everything. I mean, were you really in the best shape of your life, or were you calling a bluff for Jean Volante?
I don't know. I don't think I'd say I was in the best shape of my life, but I had, you know, very few injuries going in. The only thing, and this is the reason why I wasn't in the best shape of my life, and you know this, Brian, not everybody knows it, but I had a really bad staph infection and was in bed for about 8 days, about a week, and I had to take off, no training, nothing. And you can see I have a big scar on the side of my face now, and no hair grows in that spot. So there was a moment where I thought, you know, maybe even perhaps I won't be able to fight and I'll have to pull out. But that 8 days off kind of, you know, rejuvenated me a little bit, I guess, but it did hinder me from, you know, being in the best shape I ever was in. But, you know, spending 8 days in bed kind of let my body heal a little bit. So I felt really good about that.
Is a staph infection on your face?
Correct. Staph infection on my face.
That sucks.
And it looks pretty
rough.
Once
again, clean your mats, kids.
Well, yeah. It's hard to say, you know. I mean, you should listen. We clean our mats twice a day, but I mean, it's the thing is, here's what I know about staph. You can correct me if I'm wrong, Tom, but there's a certain temperature where staph really thrives, and it's extremely hot temperatures, like between 94 and 99 or so. I don't know. It's very, very hot, but you're in Vegas. So obviously you've got that hot weather there all the time. And yep. I mean, no matter how often you clean the mats, I mean, people get sweaty and it's just, I mean, you run the risk.
Yeah. And forget about all that. Throw that all out the window. Look at the moniker in front of my name.
Hey, you are
good
filthy.
Point.
And you know what? You know, I mentioned this about your main man, Kane's brother, The Undertaker. I mean, The Undertaker's got a great gimmick in the sense that the older and the uglier he gets, the better. And as filthy Tom Lawler, I mean, every gruesome staph infection scar you get on your body is a plus.
Yeah, that's true. I also get a lot of you know, comments that I looked like Jax Teller from Sons of Anarchy, which yeah,
I thought you looked
okay.
Like the dude from The Big Lebowski.
Yeah, I would rather be Jax Teller.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
If I have my choice, come on.
So you had a chance afterwards to do a call out. Did you have a name and just weren't given the opportunity? I know that Joe Rogan stepped all over you. I was very disappointed in his interviewing skills. But who's next for Filthy Tom?
Well, the plan was to issue a challenge for October 18th in Dublin to Jimmy Manoa. However, it was really tough to tell. I knew that I had a pretty bad cut over one of my eyes, but I couldn't tell how bad. So I figured, well, you know, that's 3 months away. I may not even be able to fight. And I did get issued a 45-day suspension for the cuts that I have. So I wasn't too confident in being able to make that date. So that's why I didn't issue the challenge there. Before I even left the arena, I was told that Fabio Maldonado was looking for a partner for a fight. But that has a specific date attached to it, and that's a date I'm not sure I'll be able to make with you know, my first child on the way. So
that's right, first child on the way and $50,000 richer, Filthy. Another bonus.
Yeah, I know. Everybody, you know, gets on my case about being a boring fighter. Hell, even in his interview on UFC.com, Jean Volante was saying that I was boring and that my only shot at winning was grinding up against him, which nobody complained when R. Kelly was talking about bumping and grinding. So I don't know why
that's true.
It gets a bad rep. But yeah, $50,000 richer, number 7 on the top 10 on SportsCenter. So that was pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Stands only, it's second in my life to being the number 12 or 13 clip of the year on the Soup 1 year. But
hey, now listen, this also means that you may have now entered the illustrious top 15 in the light heavyweight division. Is that correct?
I hope so. I mean, the way I look at it is if you beat somebody, you should take their ranking, right? It's kind of like a title. So, you know, I hope all the MMA media people out there give me what I deserve, that number 15 spot. I want nothing more. I want nothing less.
You want nothing more?
No, I earned it. I earned that 15th spot. I didn't earn the 14th spot by the guy that was 15.
Oh, maybe you did. Who's like 14, 13, 12? Maybe one of them had a crushing defeat at the show, and you could move all the way up to, say, 13. Lucky 13.
Well, no, that we were the only light heavyweights on the show, but Pat Cummins.
I don't
pay
attention to that kind of thing.
Yeah, Pat Cummins is number 14. He's fighting this upcoming weekend, actually, in Brazil, I believe. So we'll see if they update the rankings this week. I don't know if they do it every single week or what the deal is, but hopefully I'll get that number 15 spot. Hopefully one day they decide, hey, this guy's been around long enough. Maybe we should put him in the video game one of these years.
Hey.
That would be nice.
At this rate, you may replace Hulk Hogan in the 2K15 video game.
We do need a hero.
Yeah, I'm also I'm free on Tuesday evenings as well if they're looking for somebody for Tough Enough.
Really? Tuesday evenings, huh?
Yeah.
They need a new judge, so I think that we could at least put a word in for you. Hey, well, would you send Tanner first to the bottom three?
Judging from who's left, it would probably be Amanda that I would send first.
Who's the other? Who's the dark-haired girl that had the temerity to stooge off what's-her-face last week?
That's Gigi.
That's right, Gigi.
From Australia.
Yeah,
but at least, I mean, she's winning challenges and she's doing pretty good. Although the fake crying bit was kind of bad, but it was awesome in its own way.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She tried to be a baby face and came off as the best heel in the company. And Rusev is a heel and comes off as the best baby face. So,
see, yeah. I have nothing against this Gigi. I just have predicted that Sarah Lee is going to win, and I've got these very passionate Gigi fans on Twitter who are telling me that I'm wrong and Gigi is going to win. So I want her to be eliminated solely so that I can laugh at a couple of people on Twitter.
Yeah. I mean, I like them both because they're both really hot.
There's no woman that's going to be on Tough Enough that's not hot, Tom.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Amanda's very generic, I will say that.
I know, but she only has the second biggest breasts on the show.
Well,
for a blonde.
Hey, you're right about that. Well, listen, Tom, we're going to
who's number 1?
Who's number Sarah Lee? I mean, come on.
Fool. ZZ.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh. Poor ZZ. Tom, you can't go around fat shaming people cuz Ed's going to call and he's going to be upset.
That's true. I did after the fact, you know, Ed made a good point. He said I should have brought up pizza and Mountain Dew and given it to Dana on the stage.
That's right. All right, Tom, listen, I want to thank you very much for doing the show today. We got to head to the break and our next special guest, but Filthy Tom is going to be on for a full hour later on today, Figure Four Daily, only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. So we'll be back in just a moment with more Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. AAA presents Triple Mania 13 live on pay-per-view in America and Canada. Double main event on August 9th. Rey Mysterio Jr. and Mysticis will be facing off in a dream match. And Alberto El Patron will be facing Brian Cage in a hair versus hair match. All of this airing a special start time, 7 Eastern, 6 Central, Sunday, August 9th, Triple Mania on pay-per-view, $29.95 high def, $19.95 in standard. And we are very happy today to be joined by Jack Evans, straight from Mexico. Jack, what's going on?
Not a lot. How's it going, Brian?
I haven't talked to you in years.
In absolute years. But what I'm happy about is on Twitter, you're finally admitting that I am your student.
Jack, I've always admitted you were my very, very proud of you, especially now that Dave Meltzer has officially put you over.
I know, that because back in the day, I swear, you just used to pretend I didn't exist. So now that Dave actually likes me, it honestly feels like a warm, toasty feeling inside.
So you met him at PWG this Friday, is that right?
Yeah, he was there right in the front row, watched the whole show, talked to him a little bit, but not much, but...
Well, listen, we got to talk about this Triple Mania and your performances on Lucha Underground. You've been on 3-4 shows now. It was well into the season before you finally debuted. And I guess talk a little bit about how everything worked out in terms of working a deal with Lucha Underground.
It was actually strange because they came to me about Lucha Underground literally like a year and a half before it ever debuted. And the original idea was completely different. I was going to be a character named Sky Dragon. Like, there's going to be much more like Aztec-based gimmicks are given to people. So when I actually went there, I get there and they're like, oh yeah, you're going to be a heel. So I actually wasn't prepared my first time to Lucha Underground, so I was very nervous about that. But it ended up working out, and I love Rudo Evans. But when it came to actually striking a deal with them, it just was very easy. Just went all through AAA, and yeah, it's probably my favorite promotion I've ever worked for. They're incredibly professional. They're very easy to deal with. You can, if you have any kind of problem, they're just right there to fix it that instant. So I can't put over Lucha Underground enough.
Sky Dragon sounds like an awesome gimmick.
Yeah, it was. The thing is, they had all these concept drawings, and if you would have seen the outfit, I think it would have cost like $8,000 or something, because it was amazing. And I was like, oh, I'd love to wrestle in that. But then, like, plans changed, and they wanted to push it kind of in the direction that it is now. And I'm happy they did, because it's my favorite wrestling program on TV. Obviously, I'm biased, but.
Sky Dragon having an $8,000 costume. I mean, were there jetpacks attached to this costume, or what was so special about it?
It literally looked like like Ogre from Tekken or something. I mean, it just had stuff hanging off of it. Like, it's kind of similar to Drago's like current gear, but just the concept made it, because it was drawn like a comic book, so it just looked insane. I was like, this would be the best outfit ever in the history of wrestling, but alas, it was not to be.
So Triple Mania is coming up, obviously. It's going to be available on pay-per-view, and for those in America that have not had a chance to see AAA, you get an opportunity. Rey Mysterio Jr. is on the show, Alberto El Patron, Brian Cage. What can you tell us about your involvement with the show?
My personal involvement, it's going to be Angelico, me, and Phoenix. Angelico's right here, by the way. And again, the Hell Brothers, the Cibernetico, Averno, and Chessman versus Tejano, Fantasma, and Pentagon. So it's a lot of guys that if you've watched Lucha Underground, you're familiar with. So yeah, you know, it'll be a pretty amazing match, I believe.
I haven't ever had a chance to talk to Angelico. You can tell him we got to get him on the show one of these days. But I did have Fantasma on the show. Hijo del Fantasma, not his dad. I had him on the show a while ago, and a very well-spoken man. And I have never seen this man without his mask, Jack, but he claimed he was the most handsome luchador in all of wrestling. Can you confirm or deny that?
If he was that handsome, he wouldn't be wearing the mask.
That's a good point.
Right. See, I believe at one point there was the possibility he was the most handsome man in Lucha Libre, but then Los Huevos del Cielo came along and shattered all his dreams.
So you, when I first met you and you were first training, I mean, yes, for a long time I did not admit that I trained you, but it was not because I did not think you were great, Jack. I thought I didn't deserve the credit. I thought you deserved all the credit for everything that you had done.
You'd ruin Jack's reputation?
All I did was try to tell you how to not kill yourself. And I thought, I don't deserve credit for training this guy just for that kind of thing. I very much appreciated it.
You do, because I don't know if you remember Tim, but he just sat in the lawn chair the whole time. I was like, yeah, go in the ring and do whatever. You, Brian, is a complete philanthropist, people. He would come in on Saturday on his own time and do a special training session, and I think he did it just because he realized how badly Tim was training people. But, like, the very basics, not that I'm actually that good at them, that was all taught to me by Brian. I might have just ruined your reputation.
No, come on now. But honestly, the reason I bring it up is because your matches over the last couple of years, I mean, you do some awesome stuff, and as far as I know, I mean, you can correct me, you're not killing yourself. So you have achieved everything that I was hoping for at the very beginning, and I'm very proud of you. But I guess what, over the last several years, have you changed things about your style? I mean, what, obviously, as you noted, Dave is now recognizing you, so that's a big plus right there. I guess take us a little bit through your evolution as a wrestler over the last 10 years or so.
I'd actually say the biggest evolution just came in the last couple of years, because before I was all that guy that, like, and when you're starting out on the indies, you kind of need to be like this, but I was all more about the big stunt to make people remember me and everything. But in the last couple of years, now that I have a baby and everything, I'm so scared of getting injured. So I learned to kind of set up the moves a little bit better and actually plan the matches with a lot of help from Angelico. He's the brains behind the operation. So I'd say actually in the last 2 or 3 years, my biggest transformation, but less more of that, you know, grindhouse style, one big stunt, make them remember that and throw everything else to the wind. And I tried to make everything a little bit more of a storytelling style. Or for me, I always thought I wanted to be the Spider-Man of wrestling. So I try to make my moveset thematically fit that a little bit more. So instead of just doing, you know, huge dangerous dives or anything, I started to use my like acrobatic ability more of like counters and flips to land on my feet and everything. And I know it sounds weird, but I want to fight like Spider-Man in the ring, if that makes any sense, but in the safest way possible. So I'd say the biggest transformation were those things in the last couple of years.
I should mention, by the way, before we go any further, that your main man, Dave Meltzer, is on CNN right now. For those of you that are listening, you might want to set your DVRs. Dave is on CNN talking about Hulk Hogan and his the racial slurs on the audio tape that is the big story. So for those of you listening, you might want to check that out. Jack, I know that also you, besides pro wrestling, I know that on television they mentioned that you'd been doing jiu-jitsu. And some people, when you hear that on television, it's all some sort of storyline. But you've been training for a while now, haven't you?
Yeah, well, I got the blue belt curse. After I got my blue belt, I quit for about, honestly, 3 years, and I just gotten back into it recently. But no, I'm a legit blue belt. Not that that's the craziest thing. But I wanted to get that out there, so I always feel it's so important to see, like, feed the commentators, because they're the narrators of the match. And I wanted to differentiate, like, heel Jack Evans from face Jack Evans, because it's so hard to truly be a heel character but be doing these crazy flying moves. So I just wanted to put that out there. So when I do submissions and everything, again, like, it thematically fits the character a little bit better of Rudolph Evans. But it's not like I'm the craziest jiu-jitsu guy or anything, but I know some stuff. And I practice the rubber guard religiously, so that's kind of my strength.
That doesn't surprise me one bit. I would bet that probably 90% of the people that quit jiu-jitsu, if they quit, they quit at blue belt. So you probably shouldn't feel bad about that. And it's good you got back in, but has that helped, like, your... I mean, one thing about Lucha Libre is the wacky submissions that you'll see. And they're far wackier than anything you'd see in jiu-jitsu. Unless, I guess, if you're doing rubber guard, you'll do some pretty wacky stuff. But has it helped you?
That's actually what really I like about the rubber guard is you can throw in a submission like the Twister or something, and it fits right in with the Lucha Libre submission.
It does. The ground cobra twist. So has it helped in terms of like your mat work? Have you managed to score any wacky lucha submissions when doing jiu-jitsu?
Well, my biggest strength in jiu-jitsu, and I have drilled it religiously, is I'm pretty good at getting guys with the go-go plata. Like, not higher level, I'll get stifled, but like if there's a guy around my level a little bit lower, I'm pretty good at getting that go-go plata.
And just to interrupt, Jack needs to admit that when me and him wrestled, had a little jiu-jitsu match, I tapped him out with a Negro Navarro Lucha Libre submission.
Negro Navarro submission.
I'm sorry. He ground his head into my ankle, and I did not submit. I was disqualified because I kicked him.
That's, yes.
He didn't even have time to tap. The pain was so severe, his first reaction was to kick me in the head.
But it is true. I did get put in a Lucha Libre submission, and the only way out was kicking.
I need to see one of these. You need to bring this to Lucha Underground, the Angelico versus Jack Evans submission-only match, and you can do a Negro Navarro...
I really think we should, because Angelico is under this crazy idea that somehow a Negro Navarro student can be a Hart Dungeon student, which is just insanity.
Oh, man. Which, by the way, brings... I can't remember what somebody asked you on Twitter, but your response was, it's because I'm friends with Teddy Hart. And I know that Teddy Hart has had a lot of issues lately, and I think he's living in the U.S. What's up with Teddy?
I haven't talked to him in a little bit, but he was in, I don't want to go into the details, but he's in a very weird relationship. And when it broke apart, I mean, it really broke apart. So he's just in like a lot of trouble, but I think he'll get out of it and everything will be set correctly because he's told me the story. And I mean, I know that Ted sometimes exaggerates and everything, but he usually doesn't directly lie to me like that. And he's like, no, this is a pretty big load of BS. I'm just, after we broke up, the girl wanted revenge on me, blah, blah, blah. But the long story short, he's actually kind of hiding out in America.
Yes.
I believe there's a warrant out for him in Canada.
Yeah, that's not good. Now, as we talk about this Triple Mania pay-per-view coming up August 9th, the double main event, you are living, we're calling you in Mexico right now, and obviously you're talented enough you would get a lot of work in the U.S., and you have before, obviously. You've worked for TNA and ROH and PWG and various companies, but it seems you really love Mexico and Lucha Libre. Would that be an accurate statement?
Yeah, it completely would.
What is it about Mexico and Lucha Libre that you led? The athleticism?
Well, I think that, especially when I started out, like, my style's changing a little bit now, but Lucha Libre just fit me so much more because the Jack Evans match, you know, in a card is almost like the car chase. Like, it's that action-packed, you know what I mean? Like, maybe it doesn't tell the best story, but you're always going to see something cool. And in Lucha, you can completely, if you fill that niche, like, you completely will always have a job. Like, they always need, you know, those matches, like the guys like me, Aerostar, and all them that just bring the craziness. So part of it was it just fit the style that I already truly wrestled. And then when it comes to just actually Mexico is the best kept secret in the world, because in America you hear about all this drug violence and nothing that doesn't exist. But it's all up north. If you get away from the border towns, like, I feel way safer in Mexico City than New York or Detroit or Chicago or anything.
Actually, Jack, stand by. We got to head to a break, but we'll be back in just a moment with more Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Guys, go for it.
We're back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And Jack Evans is here straight from Mexico, plugging the AAA pay-per-view coming up August 9th. Jack, final plugs. The floor is yours.
Final plug, I just convinced everyone at home that you should really check out this Lucha Libre pay-per-view, because I don't know if you've ever seen Lucha Libre before, but it's basically pro wrestling combined with, like, Ong Bak, like a martial art movie. It's very action-packed, and you've got stars, dream matches, Mysticis, Rey Mysterio, Alberto, Brian Cage. The other thing about AAA is it's a promotion that does not handcuff the wrestlers at all. They're allowed to get as creative as they want. And on the biggest show of the year in front of 20,000 people, I guarantee you it will be a spectacle you do not want to miss. It's $29.95 HD, $19.95 in standard. Starts 7 p.m. Eastern Time on August 9th. And again, I really believe if you are a wrestling fan and you've not seen Lucha Libre, or if you have, you really want to check it out. You won't be disappointed. That's a Jack Evans game.
Jack, I want to thank you so much for doing the show today. An excellent preview for Triple Mania, which is coming up on August 9th. On pay-per-view, it's available in the U.S. and Canada. Traditional pay-per-view. This is not an iPay-per-view. You can get it on your traditional cable provider. August 9th from Mexico City. There is a huge double main event. Rey Mysterio and Mysticis in a dream match, as well as Alberto El Patron and Brian Cage in a hair versus hair match. Blue Demon Jr. and La Parca against Macias and Electroshock in a tag match. The Psycho Circus against Los Villanos. And, of course, the Trios title match that Jack was talking about in the program today. Want to thank Jack so much. We got guests all this week on Wrestling Observer Live every day today, every day this week, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, as well as replays, 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern, and commercial-free downloads every day for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. Sign up today because WrestlingObserver.com is the best wrestling website in the world, if I do say so myself. 20 new shows a week that you'll only hear as a subscriber. We're out of here, everybody. Thanks, Mike, all the folks at Byline, all of you, the callers and listeners. Talk to you next time. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network.